Weekly Dose of Fat, show number 92 for Friday, February 5th, 2016.
As you can see, 5 kilowatt carbon life forms, this is the Weekly Dose of Fat. It's my pleasure to introduce the one and only Sven Hammer back for his 92nd consecutive address to the nation, and back from an endless jacuzzi surfing at the Fat Bike Worlds in Crested Butte, Colorado. It's Uncle Gomez. Try to get this one right.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show. You know, the best way to listen to the Weekly Dose of Fat is put us in your ears while you go for a ride.
Yeah, you can do that. And you could get the dulcet tones of Mr. J.K. Livin' coming through your earbuds.
Whoa. How about I give you the finger and you give me my phone call?
Hey, Fat Bike Radio and the Weekly Dose of Fat is sponsored by Surly Bikes.
Learn more at surlybikes.com. Whoa.
What do we have on the show tonight, JK?
We start the show with the event of the week. We welcome the newly crowned but not branded Fat Bike World Champion, Sir Robert Squire. We welcome listeners from around the fatosphere to answer the question, how do you keep your hands warm while fat biking in the cold? We check in with the Fatty Farm Field Report, brought to you by the Winter Rush Fat Bike Series, the Michigan State Fat Bike Championships, and the 2017 USA Cycling Fat Bike National Championships. And in this evening's special segment, we speak with representatives from Revolution Cycles about their women's fat bike demo with those cool cats from the intergalactic Surly World Regional Headquarters. And now
it's time for the Fat Bike Event of the Week.
Yeah, this week it's Narborg.
Narborg.
Race number 4 of the Winter Rush Fat Bike Series. And we have Mr. Nate Phelps on the line. How you doing, Nate?
Hey, good, man. How are you?
Doing great.
Hey, Nate.
Hey,
Gomez thought it would be a good idea since you're helping to sponsor this show for you to tell us about your races and stuff.
Yeah, we have questions. We have probing questions about the format. I was looking at the old website there, and so do you run this like a cyclocross race where you rage for 30 minutes and then you shoot the gun off or ring the bell for the bell lap and then you race for one more lap? Is that how it goes?
Absolutely. Yep. We started out doing it that way mostly by accident.
Mm-hmm.
just because when I started doing it 5 years ago, we were kind of like, my partner at the time, we were like, well, how do we do this? We'll do it this way. And so I've just stuck with it.
Ah, cool.
And it's, you know, it's kind of a fury of athleticism. And
people pretty, can really just go like, sprint for 30 minutes. I think absolutely. That you should have a class like for old fat guys like me, like maybe be like 8 minutes.
Multiple 8 minute
or maybe
races.
Just one lap and then one lap for all the money.
Do you remember how your gold sprints went in Las Vegas?
I didn't lose by that much, did I? Or maybe I did, I don't know.
Gold sprints on fat bikes, ladies and gentlemen. It was interesting.
Yes, Sven totally conquered me.
You know what's more interesting?
What?
Narborg, race number 4 in the Winter Rush Fat Bike Series.
So Nate is down there at CABDA. I'm headed down there tomorrow. That's the Chicago Area Bicycle Dealers Association. Or maybe, I don't know. I might not have the A right. Am I right there, Nate, or do you know?
Yeah, I think it's association. It's been a good show. We just came in today.
Are you going to be down there tomorrow?
Yeah, I am, yeah.
All right, well, you'll smell me before you see me.
Most likely.
Hey, compare and contrast the CABDA show with the Interbike show.
Pheasant run.
It's maybe...
it's or Mandalay Bay.
The size.
Yeah.
Yeah, same format, but, you know, quite smaller. And I think it's awesome for the Midwest.
Yeah. It's a good time of year, for sure, to have it, you know, leading into the season rather than at the end of the season.
So, Nate, did you see Blackburn there?
I didn't make the whole floor today.
I'm going to be on the look for their gear, because they have some racks that just make me go, schwing.
Yeah, Atomic's got some wheels. Yeah. You want to take a look at those Atomic carbon wheels?
Oh, yeah.
There's some stuff that is kind of new for fat bikers coming. You know, that show used to be a lot bigger. Maybe it'll get big again. It used to be at the Rosemont back in the day.
Yeah.
I worked many of those after a 7 a.m. arrival back at the hotel from the night before out on Rush Street and whatnot.
I tried to sneak in once in Pheasant Run, and I ran into Greg Airbolt and met him. He's a pretty cool cat.
Oh, right on.
He's super friendly. So, Nate, how much have you had to drink? You said, hey, I'm going to be at Cabda, so is it okay if I'm half in the bag? Are you feeling no pain? Are you working on it?
I'm working on it. Yeah. Plus the cold meds are helping out a lot.
All right. Nothing like.
Speaking of which,
it's the top of the hill.
Top of the hill.
Hey, Nate, how many races do you have left in the series?
After this Saturday, we just have the state final the following weekend on the 13th, and we just picked up a new sponsor, Bell's Brewing. And,
oh, I love me so some Bell's.
You know, we're going to be letting it flow. So I'm pretty sure we're going to be liberal with the pours.
Do they do the Oberon? Is that Bell's?
Yep, that's Bell's.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good summer beer. I like that one. Mm.
Yeah, it's hard to go wrong with Two Hearted.
Yep, true that. Yeah, absolutely. Today I've got Founders All Day IPA in front of me. So does JK.
Oh, good choice.
Yeah, good one, good one.
I'm drinking tap water and some, JK just laid some Diet Sunkist on me.
Sounds like code.
that sounded fairly gay. That wasn't meant to be.
It is
kind of a fruity drink, though.
Hey, Nate, have you been getting snow during these last couple of precipitation events, or what's happening with the weather over that way?
Man, we have been getting the rain, not the snow. And that's starting to be a little bit of a concern. And I think this Saturday we're just going to be racing in the mud. So it truly will be Narborg.
good name.
It is a good name.
Yeah. And then for the Arrow of Cupid, it does look like we're going to have a good snow.
Super. All right, man. Well,
we have to cut you short because we just have the world champion of fat biking calling us to chat about, I don't know.
Fat Bike Worlds.
Fat Bike Worlds. Yeah. And why you didn't get the brand. We even have to ask. It's like, branding.
So right on. Thanks for calling in, Nate.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me.
All right.
I'll see you tomorrow, bro.
Let's take a quick break here before we talk to the new Fat Bike World champion, Mr. Robbie Squire.
Jumbo USA builds innovative, technically superior bicycles that are race-ready, ride-driven, and tested to withstand the harshest conditions and tackle the toughest and roughest terrain. Learn more about Jumbo's American-made Ursa Major at JumboUSA.com.
You're tuned to Fat Bike Radio.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. While we were over break, we got Mr. Robbie Squire on the horn, the winner of the Men's Fat Bike World Championships in Crested Butte, right on.
Happy to have you be on the show.
Hey, thanks for joining us on the show, Robbie.
Yeah, man, it's really cool. I mean, this thing just happened not that long ago. You're the very first Fat Bike World Champion awarded there in Crested Butte. You took a very interesting pathway to winning the Fat Bike Worlds. Why don't you start with a little bit about your bike racing background?
So I started off mountain bike racing. I got a mountain bike here in Salt Lake and just kind of got into it, racing downhills, was obsessed with the big jumps, and then got into mountain bike racing. Then from mountain bike racing, got into road racing, and then kind of in a very odd way to do it, doing some fat biking as well.
Yeah, that's cool.
Knobby tire, skinny tire, super fat tire.
Yeah, because people told me, oh, well, he's just a roadie. So that's not true.
Yeah.
So
no.
People also told me that you got that Pivot fat bike right before the race last weekend. Is that true?
Yeah, well, I had actually gotten it about a week earlier, but I was down in San Luis in Argentina racing.
Oh, wow.
And so I flew back to Salt Lake, built up that bike from boxes, and then threw it in the car and drove out to Crested Butte.
No way. That's amazing.
So since you put us together, you must know just a little bit about it. Can you tell us, like, what kind of wheels it's running, what kind of drivetrain that is on the race bike?
Yeah, so it's got a combination of Shimano and, oh, what is it? It's a Shimano and then Next Crank. I was going to say XTR, XT, and then...
That's probably a Race Face Next Crank,
yeah, probably,
right?
A Next Carbon.
Race Face, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, that's it. And this is how I built it up and then literally threw it in the car. And then the cool part about it, though, is the Reynolds, the new carbon Reynolds wheels.
Right on, yeah.
That I got set up. And so, I mean, as far as something to geek out on, they're double-walled and tubeless, and they seem to work pretty all right.
Yeah, we have a set of those in on a test bike that we've had, got about three rides in on, so nice, light, strong wheel set. So during the race,
yeah.
I know that you were running a Dilly 5 in the front and a Lou in the back, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So during the race, I know that, you know, was Piston Bully groomed for the first lap, and you know, that can be a real misnomer. You can have a lot of soft spots underneath that grooming, but as the laps started to pile up, that grooming started to really get mashed potato-ish. Can you tell us how maybe that all worked into the tactics of the race and give us maybe your play-by-play of how it all worked out?
Yeah.
And your win?
I mean, so the first lap was kind of pretty much almost like a standard little road bike race. On the first climb, one of the guys went hard, and that thinned the group. And then, you know, like going into the descent, I jumped in the front because I didn't want to be stuck behind anybody. I thought I was the better bike handler. And so it was kind of like everyone is setting into a pace, watching each other, kind of worried about saving energy and all that nonsense. And then... Once we got behind lap traffic, it was more like riding a 6-mile sand pit that you just had to be really loose on your bike. And then it was more fun, too, because everybody started crashing on the second lap with all the ruts created by our traffic and lap traffic.
Yeah, very cool. So you actually kind of were in an elite group in the first few laps. Which lap was it when you broke free from Taylor and...
Travis?
And Travis.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was on the fourth lap, or I guess the third lap going into the fourth, Travis crashed, and then it's so hard to get going again once you crash because it's slippery, you probably fell over because of soft snow, and then you get snow in your cleats. And so kind of getting going again, it's just a bunch of errors in a row, just like a comedy of errors of how many clowny things you can do.
Sure.
And then we lost Travis, and continuing the just funniness, clownishness of the kind of the whole biking and the goofiness is when Taylor and I came together, he didn't realize that it was even me. We'd been teammates in the past, but I was so bundled up, he had no idea who he was racing against.
Uh-huh.
And once he realized it was me, we chatted a little bit, and then the next thing I knew, he put his front wheel into a soft spot of snow, and I look back, and he's shoulders deep, upside down in the snowbank, with his leg over his back, scorpioned. And so I had to take a second to laugh before getting back to racing and the business at hand. But right. it was pretty fun.
There was quite a bit of snow off the edge of the course. Was really soft, I assume, then.
Yeah, that's what I think. He just whatever caught in a groove and then went over to the powder snow and full on endo.
Oh, right, man. Up his head. That's
I wonder if he has a GoPro of that from his helmet view.
Or one of the four drones covering the events caught it, maybe. So later this month, you're going to be lining up at the USA Cycling U.S. National Fat Bike Championship in Ogden, Utah. Who there do you want to make sure that you keep in sight to make sure that you make the podium? Like, who's your toughest competition? Well,
when it comes to the, you know, in road biking and mountain biking, you kind of know who's going to be there every time. You get your big Tour de France champions and Tour of Utah champions, but at Fat Bike Nationals, you got to watch out for, you have the Sheriff, he was at Fat Bike Worlds. You have Kilt Man, also someone I want to keep in my, he's, you know, all big names in the fat biking realm. And so,
I saw Kilt Man. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. Bee Lady was out there as well, who's, you know, formidable once again. And so,
you're not thinking maybe Ned Overend, or make sure that you keep Travis in your sight, or Brad Bingham, no, or
those guys are important, but I kind of know their history. People like Bee Lady is a wild card. I don't know what to expect out of those characters. And that's really what I'm trying to pay attention to out there in Ogden.
Well, right on. I see that, you know, yeah, I see my coaching, you know, even though we haven't really talked, just the transcendental coaching that I've been doing for you has been doing wonders.
Yeah.
Well, right on.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good luck in Ogden, Rob. Yeah.
With B-Girl.
And Kilt Guy.
And Kilt Guy.
And maybe even Mark Peterson.
Yeah, maybe you see Mark Peterson.
He's got a really long beard.
Indeed.
I think, still.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, never know. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks for joining us on the show, man. Congratulations again.
Fat Bike World Champion, Mr. Robbie Squire, ladies and gentlemen.
Yay!
Thank you.
All right, man. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Robbie Squire.
I know. Let's take a break. Listen to some fat biking commercials. We should write some more fake commercials. I got some new gooch butter from the people at Squirt Lube, speaking of of goofy commercials.
Nice.
Squirt Lube. It's the perfect little marketing circle for gooch butter.
True that.
Grundle butter. Grundle sauce.
Have you ever had a saddle sore so long that you named it Doris? Does your gooch feel like something between sandpaper and turkey skin? Well, then you need Reamer Brothers Grundle Butter. Just apply a big old double finger dab,
sploosh,
of Reamer Brothers Grundle Butter in your shorts before a long ride, in the process to transform that old leathery taint into a silky yet bulletproof gooch. We'll begin almost immediately.
Sploosh.
Reamer Brothers Grundle Butter. Just try and find it.
That's nice. Should I tweet it too? Fuck yeah, I should.
Hey, fat bikers. This is Chris Daisy from Zion Cyclery. Most of the time I listen to heavy metal, but sometimes I listen to Sven and Gomez on Fat Bike Radio.
It's time for this week's Fatty Farm Field Report. That would normally crack you up because you would think I was gonna say. Yeah.
This week's Fatty Farm Field Report is presented by the Winter Rush Fat Bike Series.
Winter Rush is the home of the Michigan State Fat Bike Championships and will be your hosts of the 2017 USA Cycling Fat Bike National Championships.
For more information, click the Winter Rush banner located on your Mother Noman show notes or visit winterrush.com.
Winterrush.com.
Winter, speaking of winter or the lack thereof, God bless America. A lot of people are not happy with the weather. They should just go to Crested Butte because it was winter there.
Yeah, I heard they got like 27 inches of snow on Sunday and Monday or something.
Mm-hmm.
Right on. It is messing with events here in Milwaukee land.
Indeed.
I know that Frosty Hog over in Cudahy that was scheduled for this coming weekend is not going to go off. I was over there at the park yesterday, and it's ain't no snow over there, just wet grass. So they don't want to tear it up, and They're just canceling it.
The ride across Lake Winnebago is probably not going to happen either.
Yeah, I wonder. It's only 6 feet deep, though, over there at Lake Winnebago.
No way. That's a huge lake. It's like an inland sea.
It's like the deepest spot on it's maybe 12 feet. It's really, really shallow. It just covers a lot of area.
Oh.
So who knows? Maybe it's still frozen.
They're not going to do it unless they can plow the road across it and put the Christmas trees as a marker.
Right. Christmas trees. Yeah, I remember now. So, yeah. Weather. What about this stuff?
So mount your studs, boys and girls. Well, get ready for the great ice dome, thunder dome.
Beach riding. I'm hoping, as far as I could tell, I think I'm heading to La Crosse. And I think they have 6 inches of snow.
Oh,
so
good.
There might be some good play out there.
Oh, it's colder over there, up towards Wausau and stuff. And we're going to have Scott Chapin from up in Hayward area. Maybe they got some snow up there. We'll talk to him in a little bit about stuff happening up that way.
I want to go play in the
down
snow.
Down here, it's raining.
I want to go play.
Hey, look at that. Just like magic. I can't believe it. We got Scott Chapin on the line from up in Hayward way, Wisconsin there. Hey.
Hi, Scott. How are you guys?
Mr. Chapin.
Mr. Chapin's
welcome
on the horn.
Welcome to the Weekly Dose of Fat.
Yep, I've been having a good week of fat already, and we did get some more snow, like 8 inches or so here.
Nice. Excellent, because I know the base was, at least on the Berkey Trail for the race coming up, was pretty solid. You had a lot of wet snow early on, I think.
I mean, yep, you were out there.
Pretty rock hard.
Nice. Get a little bit of extra on top, man. It's going to be well good, man.
Yeah.
Well, we hope so.
So you just, did you just get back from Cuyuna today?
Yeah. There's actually about 7 of us from the area. We decided to do a midweek little vacation. And even though we have incredible riding here, it's always nice to get a different perspective and ride a different trail system. So yeah, we just did like an overnighter and the Cuyuna only got about a half inch of snow, so we missed the storm, but we had some good riding.
Yeah, that's a great trail up there. I spent the New Year's there. Did you get to see that the track groomer, that new groomer that Ranger Nick is rocking up there?
No, we heard stories about it, and we actually thought that they were out there, and we never ran into it. We actually wanted to check it out because... Kent Adams from Wildcat Groomers was with us, and he was just kind of curious as to what in the world this contraption was all about.
Kent and I talked about it at Worlds there in Crested Butte last week because he was there.
Right. He gets around.
He had good conversation.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I see your interest in grooming extends to the local area up there. You guys are you're over 50 miles of groom trails this
year? That's what we call a segue. Gold right there. That was a platinum segue.
That was pretty. That was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we do. And, you know, it's kind of hard to count. I mean, I think it's a little over 50 miles that our local club is grooming and volunteers. And it's probably more than that because a couple of our groomers have taken it upon themselves to, because they live closer to Hayward, to actually buy their own equipment and make the capital expenditure, and they're actually grooming Hatchery, which really wasn't in our original slate of trails that we had planned on grooming. So it's probably more like 60 when you count Esker and the beginner loop. So it's an awful lot of trail to take care of, but we have a lot of equipment. It's kind of accumulating and a lot of volunteers to use it. So
everybody wants to go play out in the snow.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
They work in the snow, we play in the snow, and then it snows, and you have to do it again. But a lot of smiles on people's faces coming to visit, especially on the weekends. The traffic has been a lot busier than last year, and of course last year was much, much busier than the year before, so it's definitely catching on.
Sven and JK and I should come up, and we should have like a man camp for 10 days in the North Woods.
I wouldn't be opposed to that idea. I like up in those cabins. And
You got like a pole barn or something? We could probably
I actually have a building that I call the Man Cave.
Dun, dun.
Dun, dun.
Dun!
So, So of the trails up there, is that 00 trailhead area right by Sealy, is that kind of the epicenter, or is it kind of concentrating on another area?
You know, I think it really is. The last few weekends, I've just kind of been monitoring the number of cars with bike racks, because obviously, like last weekend, there had to been several hundred cars in the parking lot between skiers and fat bikers, and it's just, there is a lot, because you can actually ride all the way up to the high point, or you can do the big fat loop or the beginner loop. That's all right there in that area, so it's a nice spot. You can actually go down and do the Sealy Trail just down the hill, and you can start from 00 if you take the big fat loop. So, you know, there's a lot of trail right there, and it's, you know, if you try to do, even if you try to do half of it in a day, it's a lot of hours of riding, which is, of course, good.
I want to go there, and I want to ride that Maqua Trail. I have happy memories of riding that in the snow before, and it's just such a nice, flowy, fun trail. All those rock cairns.
It is.
Well, speaking, you know, like Rock Lake, I could imagine that being even better in the winter because stuff fills in where it's normally a little
rocky.
I mean, some people like rocks, but I mean, I think a lot of people, I would tend to agree that a lot of the trails, even like the Ojibwa Trail, there's a 5-mile loop that there's just been a regular snowshoeing it, and there's normally a lot of rocks, and it's, you know, lumpy and bumpy. And it's just like,
Ojibwa, I think, means lumpy, humpty, humpty, lumpy. And there's so much, all of that on Ojibwa.
Right.
That's for sure.
So, Scott, I know you got the Fat Bike Berkey's coming up there in about a month now.
And Man Camp.
And Man Camp, too. Leading up to it. What are there other organized events going on regularly? How what do you got going on that way?
Well, what we have going, we actually I had a meeting with Ben and Alan at the Berkey, and out of that meeting we came up with a couple other ideas, even for Fat Bike Berkey weekend. We're going to have there's two things. There's going to be a demo day on Sunday up at 00,
mm-hmm.
and we're getting all the details, but right now it's like 9 to noon. We're going to have vendors up there. We're going to have some guided bike rides.
Nice.
On the single track, so it's all be in the single track. We're looking to do beer, brats. I think the guided ride's going to start about 10 a.m., and so it'll be a little festive, and I think it's going to be sort of the prelude to maybe a bigger, better Sunday fun day thing next year, with some other ideas that I can't mention, but they're pretty cool. We just have to make sure we can do them all. And then, of course, we're having the, as far as like outdoor rides, we always have, you know, a couple rides a week, and we tend to either, you know, post them as a Tuesday, Thursday ride. And then we're also, of course, having the post.
The after party sponsored by fat-bike.com.
Yes.
With your MC and DJ, Mr. Sven Hammer.
I'm going to be looking for our banner that got ripped off up there last year.
I heard stories about that. I haven't seen it.
No, that's okay. We couldn't really use it again anyway, because Chris Chance made us change our logo a little bit.
We changed our logo. Yeah.
So it's slightly different.
So it's a collector's item now.
Actually, I think I could fill that in with white vinyl. So I got to be honest, though. I don't know how I ended up with it, but probably about 1995, I ended up with one of the Shawamagon Fat 40 race banners somehow.
Payback for that.
So this is payback for that.
See, that's karma. That's,
right?
That's,
I don't even know where that came from, but it's sitting in the shop. I'm like, where'd this come from?
Hey, Scott, you know what burns 1,500 calories per hour?
No, what's that?
Fat biking.
There you go.
Men's Health Magazine apparently needed to tell us that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I lose about 2 gallons of fluid per hour, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, well, especially on days above 20 degrees, because you end up getting pretty warm.
Pretty much been every day here, except for about 2 this year.
Yeah, no, we've had a really nice winter here for temps, not a lot above freezing. We've had snow for a while, and I know I'm probably just rubbing it in for you guys.
I just spent 8 days in Crested Butte, so it was
It
was pretty sweet.
Nice.
You should just talk to Kent or look at Kent's pictures, because I'm telling you, every ride was just a I-gasm.
Lung burner?
Lung burner. Yeah, you know what? I just recently lost a bunch of weight and have been riding a lot, so it was it wasn't nearly as painful as I remembered.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just, I was out in Colorado and riding at elevation this summer, and oh, man, it wasn't nearly as bad as that, so I was actually fine. Like, you know, like, graded gear up, or, you know, 30 by 44 up anything.
There so. You go.
Oh, exactly. It looked pretty firm. Yeah, it looked like a fun time.
Oh, man, but after people got into it, it just got mashed potato-y a lot, and then where people crashed, and so it, but they had a lot of cool groomed trail there. And you, friendo, you have 50 miles of groomed trail right out your door. So you just don't have the surrounding jagged peaks and lack of oxygen.
No, but that's all right. We don't have to go. We don't have to go uphill for, you know, an hour to go downhill for 10 minutes. So that's the beauty of Midwest riding, I guess.
That's right. And the cheese and sausage and happy cows and beer. That's beer too.
I guess it's another. It's a it's the top of one of those aforementioned hills.
Have you got a beer, Scott?
Am I out of beer?
Have you got a beer?
You know which one?
Oh, not right now. No, actually, we had plenty last night because we were on vacation, and I have too much work to do. So I'm actually behaving tonight.
Attaboy.
Me too. Good boy, not me.
A couple of us had a lot, maybe a little too much fun last night.
I got me a Growing Power farmhouse style organic pale ale. There was a lot in a mouthful there, but it is good beer.
Well, Scott, thanks for coming on the show. Thanks for grooming all those trails, and thanks for
you bet.
Thanks for hosting Man Camp.
Well, thanks for the
we should roast a pig stuff. And what else can we get out of Scott, you think?
Bacon.
Well, one last thing, we got a lot of cool auction items, and we're going to be selling beer, and all the proceeds at the Fat Bike Berkey party will be going towards Canva. So bring your appetite, bring your wallet, and it's going to be some awesome stuff. And you can look online on our Facebook page. We'll be getting a list of some of the items that are donated and some really sweet stuff. So.
Right on,
cool.
I heard the format's a little different too. That you're not doing the call out. There's a little bit different way to award the winners. For the raffle,
I believe what our committee had decided, we're probably going to be doing the more like a silent auction where you jot down your what you're bidding instead of doing the raffle numbers. So it's just more because obviously nobody wants to. It's too hard to hear, you know, when you're calling out numbers. So
right.
I think that's what I'm not in charge of that, but that's the last I heard. But we will be posting. We'll be posting everything again online once we get a more solid list of, you know, what type of items will be there. So kind of look out Canva Fat or on the Canva website, which is canvatrails.org.
Cool. Hey, right, speaking of the Berkey, I noticed that the registration was finally filled up to the brim on Tuesday.
I know, after you guys pimped it on the show.
We talked to Ben last week and pimped the heck out of it.
63 entries just like that.
Bam, bam.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
That's the power of Fat Bike Radio. And, of course, your well-played email list as well from Nancy. And
You know what I put it on is our Instagram feed.
Oh, yeah.
We're huge on Instagram. I spend more time on Instagram than I do my hair.
Oh, that's a long time. Although, maybe your beard gets more time.
Hey, Scott, are you ready for us bringing back the beard report?
Yeah, I think so.
Because my beard, when I was in Crested Butte, it went from hillbilly to homeless.
Yeah, just a little bit past homeless right now.
So that's just that's that fine line, the 1 inch longer.
You know what that's the difference is? Is like people, like you have a mom with a young child in the store, the hillbilly, she just puts the child behind her. But when you go to the homeless, she actually gives you her change. After she checks out.
There you go. You got to go to the right store.
It's all a money-making thing. Hey, you know what else?
What's that?
We had a question of the week this week, and we actually haven't asked anybody what the answer is.
Hey, Scott's a person.
Yeah, we could ask Scott. The question of the week. The question of the week for this week is, what do you do when you're fat biking to keep your hands warm? Gloves, pogies, you have a way that's working really well for you. Since
do you pee on them?
I think warm hands are a good thing.
I wear... like very, very big mitts to start my ride. You know, they're actually like ice fishing, big, giant mittens. And then I have a bag in the back, and once my hands get warm, then I can go to, almost can go right to just regular gloves. That's what I do.
Yeah, I like having the I like having an idea like that, and also carrying around a shell to put on when I stop, because it's easy to get cold real quick unless you got something you can just pop on when you're taking a 10-minute break or something.
I like to bring the puffy jacket.
And the other thing that I do when it's been really cold, I mean, we haven't had really cold this year other than maybe a couple days, is you know, I've got a bag in the back of you know, just a seat bag that rolls out, and it down is like, if it's really cold and you want to just get going and you want to get warm, like a down vest, wear that over your jacket till you get warm, and then of course that just crumples up into nothing, and it's perfect.
Yep. The cool. Puffy jacket with a hood is what I keep in my pack, and that's, and a lot of times I end up finishing up rides with that on. And definitely when you get back to the car, just throw that on. And
or if you clunk your head in the woods, you're going to actually, you can put that on and survive till someone finds you. I mean, you got to think about stuff like that.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, and that's, I mean, true. It was down below zero here one night, and some unfortunate young lady stumbled out of a party and passed out outside and never again awoke because she froze to death. And in the middle of the city on a street with, you know, I mean, it was 4 a.m, but still. It can really happen anywhere.
So be careful out there, kids. Layer.
Riding single track at night. I mean, you just got to think about those.
Take
things.
A buddy. Have a friend. Go out with somebody you know.
Take a buddy. Take a lighter, too, so you can start a fire.
Fire. Fire. Fire.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right.
All right, Scott.
That's the educational part of our program.
Well, there, thank you, Scott. That was good.
Thanks very much for being on the show.
I have lots of other good ideas, but they're not radio worthy.
Hey, you can call in again. You got our number now.
I know. Well, I'll call in every time.
And then you could trade place, swap with Jerry once in a while. Maybe we can get Jerry to
call in. Jerry and Kent. Yeah. All from the barn.
Sure.
When you're sharpening teeth.
Jerry was with us in
Cuyuna.
Cuyuna too. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard about it there over some pizza at the Avalanche Bar and Grill on Mount Crested Butte. See, now who's rubbing it in?
Mm. Okay, Mr. Name Dropper.
Yeah, I know. But I can always rub it into you guys because we always have snow.
All right.
He's starting to sound like those guys from Grand Rapids, all snooty about their snow.
I actually enjoy some frozen gravel or a matrix of slush and ice and... God knows.
Isn't that what fat bikes are for? Adverse conditions?
All right, my man. Thanks for calling in the show. We are going to move on to the next segment, which is...
We will see you at Fat Bike Berkey.
Fat Bike Berkey. That you will. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, see you guys. Bye.
Hey, Scott lives up there in fat bike heaven.
Cable, Wisconsin.
Cable, Hayward, etc. area. Yeah. Well, I'd like to try Rock Lake in the winter.
Would you know?
I would. I'm going to be up there, probably.
Well, there you go.
So I may have that opportunity.
I think that you could write your own ticket.
You know what I do during Shawamagon when everybody else is out there racing?
You go to Rock Lake.
I go to Rock Lake and ride the trail.
Because the race doesn't go through there.
Unfortunately, I got to take photos of the race, though, probably.
Probably.
Maybe. Maybe somebody else could. There's probably better photographers out there than me. I know there's better videographers out there than me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I want to work with Joe Grinnell to get that, the drone footage like he shot last year.
Drone footage.
There were no fewer than 4 drones buzzing above the starting line of the Crested Butte Fat Bike World Championships.
I remember a day when you could be at a starting line at a race, any kind of race, mountain bike race, car race, and there wasn't a damn drone in the air. Those things are just irritating as hell.
You know what would be cool is if you could get, I saw it on the internet, they're training eagles to take down drones.
Yes, they are.
But if you could just have a falcon or something just to like take down people's drones.
It'll be the eagles because that's always what happens in the Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit series is in the end.
The
spoiler.
Eagle. The eagle
the
takes
eagles
the drone.
Save the fucking day.
In both
why don't
books.
You just... Yeah.
They only come through at the very, very, very possibly endish endy of the end, except for that extra long part.
You wouldn't have a saga and an epic like that if they went right to them.
And you know what? Birds, 1,500 calories an hour.
Exhaustingly talking about Tolkien's philosophy and impact on sociology.
Are we into Fat Bike Links?
I don't know.
I think we danced. I think we put our toe in the.
Yeah, we might have. Water. I don't know. We didn't talk about the Arrowhead 135, I don't think, yet.
Oh, mm-mm. Yeah. Congratulations to the Peterberries, who joined the Bowling League and the Fat Biking League and kicked ass across the board.
I wonder if they're like 300 bowlers as well.
Probably.
They seem driven. Driven to win.
Wiry.
like a damn animal. Chimpanzee. No.
A cheetah. Yeah, I'm husky.
I'm like a cheetah.
But I'm spry.
Ouch. Well, congratulations, Jay and Tracy, Arrowhead 135 champions for 2016.
Yeah, we got a couple of reports in the lengthy links section there from the Arrowhead.
Steve Cannon wrote a manifesto in three parts.
Sans photographs.
Yeah, but it's a lot of wordy words. But if you want to know what it's like, man, that's it. I read it.
Basically relived the entire event.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Christopher Tasaba, who I think is a salsa writer, he's on the Salsa Cycles culture blog.
Yes, he's a salsa, some sort of salsa something.
The new general manager, Mr. Ziegel. From Surly, the show sponsor, he rode the Arrowhead 135. It was chronicled. I think he had his own drone.
So did anybody do the Arrowhead and then bop right on over to the Fat Bike Worlds?
No. No, I don't think they did.
Because that would only be...
Wow, you're like very earnest.
No.
No, I thought maybe you know,
you're always about that. Like, let's do the River Rush 24 and then go do the Walsall 24.
Well, you only have to do 12 hours of it, though. That's the beauty of the plan.
Oh, well, see.
The beauty is in its simplicity, you see.
It makes total sense to me.
It requires somebody to drive a limo or a van to take people up there. So you can crib a little bit.
A helicopter or a hovercraft.
Oh, you know.
Either way. Speaking of hovercraft, Danielle Musto caught up her blog, and that girl is back in the saddle. You know, she's like a perpetual on the podium, and she used to always win, and now she's back winning.
Win.
So she was, whoop. Last year she wasn't the series champion, but this year she is in the lead.
Danielle, the
nicest lady. Just the nicest.
You'll get that from her blog. It actually very nice as well.
Indeed. So Joe Boo groomed his backyard.
Code. Once again, code.
Yo. Yep. And he has some snow back there, too.
Huh. Here's code for you. Follow us on Instagram. You know what I'm saying?
Dang old Instagram. That's like the new modern Flickr, right? Is that
it's
like Flickr?
Fatbike.com.
All spelled out.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not even going to spell it out. Just click on that thing in that there show notes.
.com.
It's like Flickr for your phone. It's the new modern photo sharing.
Conventional spelling.
Social photo sharing Instagram.
We should have Bruce back on the show again because he's always on the show.
Right, that's true. He's pretty much every week writing about something about fat bikes or plus bikes or something.
Yeah.
You could call.
I'm just going to go there to Scotland one day and show up at his door with some chocolates.
And the threats continue.
Oh, we have 10 minutes to our special segment. What do you think we should talk about?
Nana.
Hey, you want to answer this week's question? How do you keep your...
My hands warm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, it depends on the day. But if it's colder than, 10... or something, then it usually involves, most of the time, those big ice mittens. They're from up in Superior, and they're huge, and they're deer skin and lined, mm-hmm. and they're like a lobster claw, and they're big. And those are like for the first until my hands start feeling warm, and then it's more like Pearl Izumi gloves. Unless it's really windy and crappy, and then pogies. But I really just, I don't like the hassle of a pogie, even a quick to put on one. And riding on the narrower trails, I just rather have gloves on.
Gotcha. JK?
I rely on the Pearl Izumi lobster claws.
Stamp. That's a good glove.
Yeah. And you know, just always have like some sort of liner or a, you know, kind of a like mellower springtime glove.
Sure.
Just in case. It's like, okay, now it's really not that cold anymore and I actually want to breathe. Mm-hmm. Like not sweat within my, you know, self that way. But it's that's been a good standby, even in the, like cold rain conditions, which we're not even hitting. I mean, but still cold, it's whatever. And it still does its job that way.
Yeah, lobster gloves, Pearl Izumi lobster gloves.
I've got a pair. Yeah, I've got I have one of the original, like, really big puffy ones from the 90s. Mm-hmm. And the new ones are thinner and much better at staying dry and much warmer. And technology's a cool thing.
Well, I guess I'm the only one who uses pogies out of the three of us. I've used every kind of pogie, too. I've tested every kind of pogie. And the latest one that I tested is that Wolf Tooth, the low-rise bikini number. And those work fairly well for this winter. I wear Pearl Izumi soft-shell gloves, so it's very thin 32 to 40 degree kind of comfort-level glove inside the pogies. Or if it's really cold, I'll wear a really thin pair of gloves with a medium pair of wool gloves, Filson's, or whatever off-brand, but wool rag gloves inside of pogies. I just feel like, and if it's going to be 35 degrees, I'll just wear regular long finger mountain bike gloves inside of pogies.
Hmm. I think in the wet and in the wind, I like pogies.
Yeah. I like the new pogies. They go on and off the bike super easy. Those Wolf Tooths have a special little end cap that just, they snap on and off in literally a minute. And because you don't even have to, they don't have vents like the Cobra Fists or some of the other pogies have, but you can open up the area along the bar and they vent out very easily. So it's a really nice lower 48. I also think that, man, Barmitz Extremes are pretty good for lower 48. But then, of course, if you go up to the Arctic, it's the Revelates and the Dogwoods, the super insulated versions.
Super insulated. I like the idea of the Wolf Tooth where it folds down and you've got like, it's quicker entry. That may be enough to push me over.
Yeah. Kent actually had some even lower rise hand versions, almost look like brush guards for motocross and heated grips. That is a product that comes right out of the USA that we'll be having on the site. He's selling it through his website.
Oh, cool.
And he was showing it at the Worlds.
We saw heated grips like 3 years ago or more.
Ame, right?
Made those? Yeah, somebody. Yeah. 3 or 4 years ago at Interbike. You know what I should do? I'm going to push a button just for the heck of it and see what happens. Hey, welcome to the radio program. Who do we have on the line?
Hi, this is Amber. I work over at Revolution Cycles in Madison.
Hi, Amber. It's Sven here, and next to me, very, very uncomfortably close, is Uncle Gomez.
I'm literally like six feet away from him. Yeah,
that's close enough there, buddy. Just stay back now. We're talking to a young lady on the phone here. Just stay your distance, sir.
Man.
Oh, man.
You're actually, Amber, you and your event is our special segment this evening. And I guess JK is going to announce this segment in a very, very official way.
Okay.
Here we go. In our special segment this evening, Amber from Revolution Cycles in Madison is going to call in.
Odd that she's already on the phone.
And she's already on the phone. I'm just reading the words. And talk to us about the women's fat bike demo with Surly Bikes.
Hey, Amber. Welcome again to the show. Tell our listener about this fabulous event that's being done just for the ladies.
Cool. So I am working with Bell Helmets, and I'm one of their 6 Joyride Ambassadors for 2016. And the program is all about bringing bringing different events to get women out there riding and to ride more often. So in the middle of winter, it's kind of hard to get on the dirt. So I asked Surly to lend us some demo bikes, and we're going to bring them out to a trailhead, get some coffee and get some donuts, and then just let everyone have fun. And then I also found out that Quality Bikes is going to donate some product, and also Revolution Cycles is generously giving us some products as well. So at 1 p.m. we're going to have a raffle. So anyone that donates $5 will be entered into a raffle to win some cool things as well. And then all that money is going to go back to Corp, because they're the ones that make this all happen with grooming the trails. The event is free and it's open to all women, all ages, and all ability levels. And then it's going to be over at Quarry Ridge. We're going to set up near the parking lot. So just look for the Revolution Cycles tent and the Surly banner. And then it's going to start around 11 a.m. and then run until around 3. So.
And that's happening Saturday?
Saturday, February 13th.
Saturday, February 13th. So. Like,
right on.
Like a week down the road.
And if the ladies don't have a fat bike, Surly will be will have their demo fleet there for them to try out some bikes.
Yeah, so it's gonna be either way. So if you have a fat bike, bring it out, ride. But then you also have we have like 8 demo bikes, all different sizes, definitely extra small and smalls. There's also gonna be some mediums, and I'll probably be able to get a large out there as well. So yeah, even like young, I've had a lot of questions about bringing kids. So like younger ladies are definitely like welcome to come with a parent, and try the bikes as well. And it's really just a social event. So there's no pressure. Just come out and hang out and just have some fun. And then there's a bunch of information on the She Shreds Madison Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would also encourage you to check out the Bell Joyride Madison Facebook page, because every month there's going to be different events. So
cool.
Yeah. We'll put that we'll put those links in the show notes.
You mentioned the social portion of this event for the ladies. Is Earl going to be helping you out at the event? For the ladies there, ladies. Earl from Revolution Cycles.
Seriously. I think it's like girls only until the after party, and the after the after party, which is at an Irish bar. There's a crit. There's a crit around Scott Walker's Death Star, because you gotta be the champion of something. And in Madison, Wisconsin, we can't have the Ukrainian national championships, so we have the U.S. Fat Bike Criterium National Championships going down after the. So you could go. You could demo a bike. You could, you know, sew yourself a Yeti costume and enter this Criterium Championships and be a huge hit.
And that's all on the same day?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all going on in Madison, Wisconsin?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I wonder how beer-fueled the event this will be. I was thinking that they'd have some beer there.
Well, it could get quite messy. So, JK, anything to add to that?
Oh, it's just funky when they, I was in Madison last year, completely ignorant of that occurring the day after.
Right, you didn't know it was Winterfest, but all of a sudden they held a parade for you.
Yeah. It was just like, hey, went to a concert night before. I'm like, oh, wait, why is there snow all over around the Capitol?
More importantly, how did it get here?
Yeah. In the dead of night. It's amazing. I was really impressed with that. Yeah.
Are they going to have to truck snow in again this year? Or do you have pretty good snow?
Yeah, they did it. You know, they're going to. We have a little bit, but it's all melting. But yeah, they truck it in, so it's guaranteed you're going to have a groomed track to ride on. You just ride your bike around the Capitol a bunch of times on this really nice groomed snow, and then after you get to drink a bunch of beer. So.
Right, I think great. Is Gomez going to go? You're going to go race around the Capitol.
You make it sound like so much fun, Amber. I'm going to race. I'm going to try. I have that head fleece skin suit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
That I'm going to paint a, maybe like a wizard mural on the back and race.
So that's all you'll know, folks.
And there's lots of good heckling. There were beer hand-ups and everything last year, too. So
oh, damn.
Kind of a weird juxtaposition with the Capitol and then beer hand-ups.
And so, sort of like a cyclocross good. Race, really, right?
Yeah,
yeah, I think that's
with the more the atmosphere obstacle. and the festivities and whatnot.
It's a criterium, lad.
Yeah,
you go around in circles, ride your bike around.
We
in
go
circles.
Around in circles.
It's more like a square.
Amber, you have shown a great deal of patience, and I'm sure this time will count towards you getting to heaven, Nirvana, or getting in to see Nirvana somewhere another day.
I would be in heaven, man.
Good.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling, Amber. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
February 13th, Saturday, Revolution Cycles, Surly, Amber, probably not Earl.
Flying monkeys.
But having fun in the snow.
Scott
in
Walker, riding bikes.
Yeah.
Jumping snow.
Well, this is. Thanks again, Amber. See you later.
See you. Bye.
Hey. Crikeys, we just talked about Surly for that whole segment. Do we have to go ahead and thank him again for sponsoring today's radio broadcast here on
Surly,
Fat Bike Radio?
Bikes, parts, and chaos.
I think we just witnessed some of that damn chaos right there. I'll tell you what, man.
Join us next week when the question of the week is, why does it hurt when I pee?
No, really.
Plus, we invite event promoters to call in and pimp your local fat bike race.
Help us help you dance the rumba of fat bike fun.
Call 818-918-2453. Or not.
Oh, till then.
Let's keep fat bikes fun, okay? All right.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
You've been listening to Fat Bike Radio's weekly dose of fat. Find us on the web at fat-bike.com/radio. We'll see you next time.